Next up to the mic, a man whose comic delivery is the equivalent of an expertly mixed dry martini. A gentleman who's written novels, movies, episodes of The Simpsons, and who for some reason agrees to join us here on special occasions like tonight to share some candid, memorable moments from his own life. Please welcome Larry Doyle.
He reaches into his jacket and removes a Glock 38 semi-automatic. I'm sorry, before that. We got married. It'll be 15 years this August something or other. And we got married here in Baltimore. The front lawn of my wife's childhood home, which is now our house, which is another story, a kind of terrifying tale of crumbling walls and blood-like liquid trickling down the wall, on the walls and vanishing contractors. But you're here for the deadly wedding toast of death. We got married in August in Baltimore. It was 106 degrees, which was back in the days when that was not actually normal. The humidity was semi-solid. We were married in a hot bowl of Jell-O. And people were crazy from the heat. Bad crazy. But a funny thing about planning a wedding is there's all these decisions that have to be made, thousands and thousands of details, and on each of them, the groom is required to render an opinion, which does not count. It's kind of like marriage in that way. And in fairness, my wife did have a 25-year head start in planning the wedding. And so some of the details were already set in stone. But she and her mother still required my input on everything for their amusement, apparently. So which china pattern would you like? The white bone? Or the Scooby-Doo. I'll be getting to the deadly wedding toast of terror. But anyway, so they allowed me to pick one single item for the menu. And they were not crazy about what I picked. But they decided that I needed to have one small little thing in the wedding that was my own to keep me invested. I picked orange push-up pops. And I have to say they went rather quickly. Anyway, on to the deadly terror toast of blood. It had gotten dark, and the temperature had dropped into the double digits. And people were swooning on the lawn, licking out the cardboard tube, trying to get the last little bit of push-up goodness. And then Oswald stepped to the mic to make a toast. Now, here's a wedding tradition I was not aware of. It apparently is gauche for the groom to invite any of his ex-girlfriends. But the bride is allowed up to 10. My wife had only two ex-boyfriends that were worth mentioning, and they were both at the wedding. The first was Miles, who was also a friend of mine. And in fact, Becky and I had started dating at Miles' wedding. To which she had brought a Vera Wang dress, which she kept in the trunk of her car in case he changed his mind. And so naturally, I thought, if I marry this one, I won't have to pay for a dress. The other boyfriend was Oswald, which is not his real name, but it should be. Oswald was the kind of ex-boyfriend that you look at and you think, what does this say about me? He was a sort of big and dark and angry guy when he was on his medication. And he kind of looked like Vincent D'Onofrio in a Full Metal Jacket. Anyway, I don't know if it was the heat or the alcohol or inadequate serotonin uptake inhibition. But on this particular night, Oswald was not his usual surly self. He gave the entire toast into the glass of champagne. And he went on about how wonderful Becky was and what a wonderful person she was and how wonderful the various parts of her were. He didn't mention me, only her. And only in the past tense, like a eulogy. And there, I don't know, there was something in his psychotic demeanor that made me think that this toast was going to end, and I've got a present for both of them. Now, you're going to think that I was delusional, that you know, I was hopped up on marital bliss and Kir Royals. And, but I wasn't the only one, because as Oswald was going on about how nice Becky smelled, I saw my brother Patrick was like inching up behind him, getting into position. Patrick said later that he didn't really think that Oswald was going to kill us all, but he thought that he might need to stop talking. I was going on only 35 minutes sleep, but I managed to envision a plan. He reaches into his jacket and withdraws a Glock 38 semi-automatic. As a diversion, I push Becky into the wedding cake. Then I take Oswald out with a series of moves that I saw David Carradine perform in the 1970s. It was a good plan. So Oswald seems to be circling around to his thesis statement, which is that Becky really had it great at some time in the past, but that she never really realized how great she had it, and that sometimes people don't really appreciate how great they had it until it's too late. And then I swear this part of the story is true. He reached into his jacket and he scratched himself. And Miles, a good boyfriend, jumped up, grabbed the mic, raised the glass, and said, "To Becky and Larry." And everyone cheered, and we all applauded deliriously and wept as Miles led Oswald away and off into the dark. I heard that some years later, Oswald married an heiress, but I never saw him again, except sometimes. I gotta go.
Larry Doyle.